A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 24th January 2021, Sunday. So we are continuing from this book, The Path to Truth. For modern day Bodhisattva practitioner, we are coming towards the end. We are at page 301, Epilogue. Epilogue means the conclusion part, so they will conclude. Then after that, we will have the appendix, then maybe after that we will finish off. So after we finish this book, we may go back to all the transcript book that we have developed, and we go through them one by one so that you can have deep knowledge and understanding of the teaching. I realize most of this transcript book, which is very useful and very deep in its understanding, but not many people can develop their own understanding from your own reading. So by nature, feel that we should go through it. When we go through it, it will actually cause the understanding to arise. And when they arise, with your understanding now, your consciousness has transformed and evolved at the same time. So that sharing can really help Kayanamitas. Just relax body and mind, maintain some power attention, and we shall continue from where we stopped. Like I explained earlier on, we are following this book, The Path to Truth. For modern day Bodhisattva practitioner, we are coming to the end of the book, page 301. The title is Epilogue. So the meaning of epilogue is the conclusion, the final conclusion. So this conclusion is very important. It is the summary of what the author wished to impart, the reason for her book and all those things. So this is a very good section. Before I share this section today, I also had an inquiry from Chin Hao, Brother Chin Hao. So this particular person, I think he replied to my WhatsApp video file. Not now, WhatsApp, YouTube video file. So he found two very interesting, and he has very good comment. Then there is also another talk. There are two talks. The first video is regarding how to deal with thought in meditation. This was delivered by me at Wu Ping Ching Se in one of the Sunday classes. And for him to have the understanding, my nature rejoiced. Then after that, he asked me one question, which is very good, and I decided to share it today. So remind me so that I won't forget. So I will send it to the Maitreya today, so that you all can also read it from there. So anyway, just to get ready, I will just read what I received from Chin Hao. And I also actually gave him a short reply early on. Okay, I will read to you the first comment from Chin Hao. Chin Hao mentioned, "Bertil, very good morning, is it? There is someone by the name of Ishan Sadanan. He has given very high comment or very good comment on your two YouTube video, Sadhu. Then I have a look. The first one was how to deal with thought in meditation, that just now I mentioned. He said, "Sir, you are indeed a great master, the real deal, as they said. Please give me your blessing, so I may one day realize the truth. So be it. And then metta. Then the other one is our recent sharing, the path to truth, which is our Sunday series for modern day Bodhisattva, series number 36. So the comment is, he just commented it about a few hours back. He says, "Sir, I take you as my teacher. I haven't met him actually. You really are something else. Wow, is it?" So because of those comments, I gave him a reply. I said, "Rejoice with your good understanding." So regarding the blessing, I said, "Sure, I will give you the good and wholesome blessing." Then after that, surprisingly, he wrote me a question. Just now when I received it, just a few minutes ago from Chin Hao. He said, "Pertil, sir, do you recommend I take up a primary object such as Buddha or breath and watch consciousness from the sixth sense door flow out uncontrollably and watch if I am controlling to bring it back, as many other Thai masters say, or just be aware of mental activity? I had trained previously in various traditions. One of them is the Goenka tradition, and the other one is the Mahasi tradition, which now I realize from your teaching that all focusing produces thought due to practice habits from these traditions. Finding the way has been difficult." So the question was very good. Is this particular Dharma practitioner, he really serious about finding the way, the understanding, and for him to have the condition and the parami, I will answer him in today's Q&A. So remind me to come back to this one before we start our full Q&A. Okay, so we will go to epilogue, page 301. So regarding this epilogue, the author said, "Our Dharma practice is to hold the Buddha in our heart. Means the Buddha is the embodiment of his teaching, perfection of wisdom and virtue." So holding the Buddha in our heart means to have the Buddha's quality or embodiment of his wisdom and virtue. Then not only that, we must also live out the Dhamma in our action, be mindful in our daily life, and engage in spiritual cultivation among society, among the people. So this is very important. As Dhamma practitioner, cultivator, if you only learn the Dhamma or cultivate the Dhamma for our own knowledge, then it does not serve us. If we cannot live it out until it becomes a living reality, then this Dhamma is of no use. So to be able to live it out in life is very important. In every action we arise, every speech of communication we arise, and every moment of thought process. That is to say, to be mindful in our daily life and to engage in spiritual cultivation throughout our living, means throughout our waking moment while in life, among society, among people, even our understanding of the totality of consciousness of nature, the environment, and everything that our nature can come into contact with through our form and mind. So the author said the spirit of the Jingshi Dhamma lineage is about being disciplined. This is very true. Means you cannot play a fool. Discipline here means not to be rigid. To be disciplined means to hold on firmly to your understanding and to cultivate sincerely with faith and persevere. So here, when the word is used, you have to understand what this word means. Because discipline has two meanings. Some people hold on to discipline to become rigid. That one is not the correct intent. To discipline means to hold on to that understanding, to cultivate, means do not be slack, do not be lazy. All this is very important. So the emphasis is the spirit of training yourself to have this self-discipline. Then diligence is of course very important. Like we all develop, we have to have this virya, spiritual zeal, to diligently cultivate so that we can persevere, endure, and do everything that is needed. And here they add in the word frugal, which is true. Frugal. Initially, you have to be frugal. Frugal with everything so that you will not become like lost in the materialistic world. You will not indulge in all those things. Being frugal, there is a meaning very deep. You don't waste things unnecessarily. If there is a need to use it, you will know how to use it, but you use it frugally, means not to be extravagant in all those things. And lastly is to be able to overcome problems or difficulties, to solve your whatever life situation or problems amicably. The word is amicably. He who don't have the Dhamma, you can't. You don't have the wisdom born of Dhamma way, you can't resolve issue amicably. So the goal of Cixi School of Buddhism is to revive these propriety qualities that you need to do this work. Now that Cixi School of Buddhism has been established, in addition to putting the teaching into practice, we need to mindfully contemplate what it means to happily come together in the Jingshi Dhamma lineage. Due to affinity created in the past or in our past lifetime, this is very true, we are able to meet at this time where the sasana is and in display. No matter how we learn about Cixi, whether directly or indirectly, under whatever circumstances, it captured our attention and make us joyful from the bottom of our hearts. We approach it and become involved. It is evident that we share the same aspiration and goals in our past life. All of us must tranquilly reflect often. So the word tranquility is very important. You must have a tranquil mind, the silent mind, the quiet mind. When our mind are tranquil, we can think clearly, we can see clearly, and we will not deviate from our life's direction and purpose, even the cultivation. Because without the tranquil mind, the mindfulness nature, the awareness nature, that true mind, you cannot meditate. You can only meditate with that true mind, the awareness nature, not with the thought. Thought-based meditation will be limited by the instrument they use, because our purpose is to realize the enlightenment, which is akaliko, meaning beyond thought, beyond mind. So if you use thought as the basis, how can you liberate your mind and go beyond? That's why the Buddha, when it comes to the third advice, cultivating the mind or purifying the mind. The first two advice, avoid all evil, do good, you can use knowledge and thought. But if you have mindfulness, it's a lot better. But when it comes to the third advice, purification of mind, the Buddha's emphasis is always on sati, leading to samadhi, and developing wisdom. It's no more thought-based. It's awareness-based. Sati is awareness before the knowing. Pure awareness before the arising of the aggregate of mind. That is what sati is. That's why when you are silent, able to observe clearly, then you can recollect what happened. The recollection part is memory. But at the moment of sense experience, is the direct seeing, is the pure seeing, is the direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Because only the awareness nature can observe without prejudice, without bias, without views, opinion, and conditioning from our brain, our memory, our conditioning. So that is the reason why all meditation must be done with the silent mind, the true mind, the awareness nature within sati. Sati leading to apamada or heedfulness. So I will read on. All those in the Suji school of Buddhism are brothers and sisters of the same Dhamma family. Those who have the affinity to enter the Suji school of Buddhism, accept my teaching, carry out my mission, and contribute towards the same goal are all members of our Suji family. This is pertaining to the author. The author is the oppressor. Suji, Shi Chenyan, Chenyan Pasu. So those who have affinity to enter the Suji school of Buddhism, accept her teaching, carry out her mission, and contribute towards the same goal, and therefore they are members of her big family, Dhamma family. They are as connected as blood relatives. Blood relatives are brought together according to karmic affinities formed in previous life, which may not always be good. However, members of a Dhamma family are from the same Dhamma lineage, and everyone walk the path of Dhamma, same path, share the same goal with one heart. Everything we do is for a common good, a common mission. Therefore, we must correctly and joyfully pass on our Dhamma knowledge or Dhamma lineage, cherish and be grateful for our shared Dhamma affinity. So this is very true. In a way, it's the same as what we promote. We promote Kayanamitaship. Kayamita means Dhamma friends. So according to the Buddha, he read through his teaching, especially the Avijja Sutta, step one of the enlightenment sequence is to have true Dhamma friends. If you have Dhamma friends, that is the beginning of cultivation. Because according to the Buddha, without true Dhamma friends, you will not have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. So who are Dhamma friends, spiritual friends? Mita are friends. Kayana is Dhamma friend, spiritual friend. So spiritual friendship, they are cultivator of the Dhamma. They walk the path of Dhamma. So because we are spiritual friend, Kayamitas, Dhamma friends, we walk the path of Dhamma. We hold on to the precept. We follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. We cultivate sincerely. We develop spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Then we train our mind to be mindful, to be aware. Then we stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then after that, use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is namely cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. If you do that, you develop heedfulness. And according to the Buddha, heedfulness is very important. It's the most important qualities in the practitioner's mind. For under Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deafness. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So from this first Dhammapada verse on the chapter of Appamadavagga, the chapter on heedfulness, there are 20 verses, verse 21 until 40. So verse 21 make it very clear. You want to cultivate the Dhamma. You want to realize the truth, become enlightened, realize Nibbana. You have to start with heedfulness. And what is heedfulness? The Buddha defined it very clearly. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, the bond-free supreme enlightenment of Nibbana. So this clearly defines what heedfulness is. Ever mindful, constantly meditative, means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Because under the Four Noble Truths, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, you go through the Four Noble Truths, you realize the first Noble Truth is the Noble Truth of Dukkha, suffering, the eight realities of life and existence. This has nothing to do with meditation. It's a very important understanding of Dhamma, the reality of life and existence. Then the second Noble Truth is the Buddha proclaimed, is it, under the second Noble Truth, there is a cause behind all suffering that you encounter within the first Noble Truth when you don't have the Dhamma. And the cause of this arising of suffering or dukkha is always craving, born of self-delusion, sakkaya-ditti. So knowing the cause is not teaching you how to meditate, but it's very important. If you know the cause of arising of suffering, and you understand what suffering is, then that is the beginning of cultivation. You will start to have the ability to manage your life better. If I know this is suffering and this is the cause, I can do something to overcome it, to mitigate it, so that my life can transform for the better, so that I can change my life for the better. That's why after that, you will inquire deep into the Buddha's teaching to find the answer and the solution. If I know the cause of arising or suffering and what suffering is, then I can do something. You know, according to Buddha, the five daily contemplation, the last one, the fifth one, he said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, supported and conditioned by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So if karma plays such a big role in our life, what must we do? That's why we must take care of karma. So to take care of karma, we have to follow the advice of the Buddha. This is how the teaching comes about. Law of karma means do good, begets good, do evil, begets evil. So if you don't take care of karma, it will create suffering and misery. So the Buddha's teaching is very simple. Dhammapada verse 183, Sabbapapasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadang sacitta pariyodhapanang etang buddhana sasana. Sabbe is all. So, all negativity means sabbapapasa, all evil or negativity or mind state, action and speech must be avoided. Sabbapapasa akaranam, you have to avoid all evil. And how to do it? Be mindful, be heedful, take care of karma. Take care of karma means keep the five precepts. That's how the teaching comes about. That's why the Buddha start off with puja. After the salutation to the Buddha, taking refuge, he renew. He advises you to renew your precept. And these five precepts are very important. Violating it constitutes major evil. That's how your karmic nature will fall. You will be entangled in life if you don't take care of karma. Only the heedless violate karma, because those who violate karma has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you don't have them, you will not break the precept. Yeah. Then to cultivate goodness or wholesomeness, kusala. Kusala is wholesomeness. So kusala is very important. Sabbapapasa akaranam kusalesa upasambada. Whatever goodness or wholesomeness, kusala, you have to cultivate them. And how to do it? You have to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right living, and the four right effort. So this is how the Buddha's teaching comes about. Because Noble Eightfold Path is about following the advice of the Buddha, avoiding all evil and doing good. That's why from right view, it conditions right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the right way to live your life. Then cultivate the four right effort, constantly purify and develop right view and right understanding. So when you have this understanding, you become beautiful. Yeah. So coming back to heedfulness, since Dhammapada verse 23 defined it so clearly, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, that is heedfulness. So, to be ever mindful, we have to start by training our mind to be mindful, to be aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. That is the first part of training the mind to meditate. Because without mindfulness, you cannot see, you are like blind. For sati is life, mindfulness of sati is life, and sati is just the awareness nature. Without sati, you think a lot, you become heedless, you do a lot of sankara activity, sankara proliferation of thought process. Like the Buddha said, sabbe sankara anicchang. If you are not careful, it brings about suffering, because sabbe sankara dukkhang, then sabbe dhamma anatta. Everything is not what you think, because it's impermanent. It goes away of nature. You want things your way, you suffer, you become afflicted. If they are impermanent, how can you hold on to them and believe that this is me, this is I? Like this form and mind, physical body and mind. If you deludedly cling on to this body and mind, you suffer. Because this is just a karmically conditioned for my mind, a vehicle and a tool for us to come to this existential world, for us to use it to live life, to develop the cultivation and the understanding of life, and to experience all aspects of life. So this understanding is very important. So coming back to heedfulness, we understand why the training must be such. First is to develop mindfulness that stabilizes it to be ever mindful. But what is being taught nowadays is all mainly thought-based meditation, focusing, concentrating, going into absorption and all those things. This one involves the thought process, nothing to do with awareness. Without the awareness nature, your instrument of thought will limit you. You cannot realize a state which is beyond thought, beyond mind. It's only through your awareness nature, your sati, your heedfulness, that can allow you to see things as they are clearly, to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to realize the truth, to understand how you are conditioned into negativity of mind state, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your insecurity, your doubt. All these are negativity of mind state, wrong thought, thought that condition your misery, your suffering. So when you understand all this, you can transform your understanding and liberate your mind, straighten your view, develop the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. That's how you become different. So meditation is about being aware to see all this clearly. How upon contact of mind with sense object through your sixth sense door, you stir your mind, you react to sense experience, you become emotional, you become angry, you become fearful, you become unhappy. Your lack of peace is due to your own sakayadhiti, self-delusion. So see this clearly and ask yourself, why did you react to sense experience? Why did you arise the emotion, the negativity of mind state? How come you stir your mind so often, react to sense experience? Or why are you unable to accept the reality of the moment as taught by the Buddha? The Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So if the causes and conditions behind already established, means that life situation, that moment, that reality is already established. Because within our conditioned world, everything is dependent on originating, condition arising. Without condition, nothing happens. So this is wisdom. At any one time, that reality within the moment, that is the reality, that is the truth. You cannot see it, you cannot accept it, you want things your way, you suffer. Because you will react and stir your mind. But if you have the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, then after that, with clarity, with tranquility of mind, you act. You can still live life, you can still act. But you act with wisdom, following the Eightfold Path. You don't act according to memory, according to your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, your belief system. All these are thought-based, wrong thought. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. What is memory? Accumulation of experiences, good and bad. And most of the time, living beings who are deluded, they accumulated a lot of negative mind state. They have a lot of wrong memory, psychological memory, which will condition their wrong thought, their suffering, their misery. Take for example, they will remember or they will accumulate in their brain all of their phobia, their fear, their worry, their anxiety, their sad moments in life, their tragedy, their traumatic experiences, their insecurity, their fear. So all these are psychological memory which are very negative. Then thought is respond to memory. So if you hold on to this memory, you will arise the wrong thought. Where this will condition wrong thought. So you act from memory means you act according to your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your doubt, your belief system, your whatever conditioning, your tradition, your whatever taboo, you know what I'm saying. All this will bring about negativity of karma, negativity of mind state, leading to suffering, misery. It will cause you to attach, cling, and corpse onto so many things which thought created. And what is thought? Sankara. Sankara is the content of consciousness. So if you give meaning, attach, and cling through delusion, sakarity, or self-delusion, you will suffer. Because the final summary of the first noble truth is very clear. The Buddha say, in short, it is due to our self-delusion that condition us to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind that condition our suffering. So this grasping aggregate is called upadana kandas. Upadana is grasping. You grasp and cling, believing it's real, it's you. You suffer because you cannot see. They are impermanent. They manifest the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Meditation is to be aware, to see this clearly, so that you are not entangled by it. You are not trapped by it. So the teaching of the Buddha is very beautiful. From very simple teaching, he bring about the right understanding. So hopefully with this explanation, you will start to understand the whole cultivation. And this is very, very useful, very important. All those who do thought-based meditation, they will not realize the truth. Finally, they have to fall back to mindfulness, awareness. That's the reason why under Avijja Sutta, finally you develop, understand it, the cultivation of the Four Noble Truths. Oh, sorry, the four foundation of mindfulness, sati, patana. You have to develop mindfulness of kaya, kaya nupasana, mindfulness of feeling, vedana nupasana. Then you have to develop mindfulness of content of consciousness, mind state, citta nupasana. Then you have to develop, finally, mindfulness of dhamma, the truth. The essential teaching, Dhammanupassana. So all these are very clearly defined and proclaimed by the Buddha. At every step of Avijja Sutta you go through, you will link his teaching clearly. From step one, having Dhamma friends, he will give you the condition to listen to the true Dhamma. These are prerequisites for enlightenment. If you don't listen to the true Dhamma, you cannot develop the first and second turning wisdom, which is Sutamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya. And after you develop them, you can put them into practice, investigate onto them. If they stand up to investigation, you will develop faith. That faith will drive you to cultivate sincerely. That's how Saddha come about, faith in the Buddha and his teaching, the Triple Gem. So step three is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then it will drive you to reflect and contemplate on the Dhamma, meditate, to develop the wisdom. That's why after that it will lead to step four, which is the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. When you observe through meditation, when you reflect, contemplate, and inquire, and develop the clear understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, you start to straighten your view. You start to accept the reality of the moment more and more through understanding. When there is condition for such thing to arise, the reality will arise. As I whatever that arise, the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions, and this is fixed. So during that moment, that reality, you cannot change. That is the Dhamma. That is having the ability to see things as they are. Then you are at peace. That's why you have equanimity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, awareness to see clearly. Then your mind does not stir, does not react. If you don't stir and don't react, what does it mean? You don't create the first two mental hindrances, the dualities of sensual desire and ill will, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, as I created. So this is fundamental to cultivation. If you don't stir your mind and develop the duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, there is no mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will to prevent you from entering the meditative state. Because they are called mental hindrance with a good reason. The Buddha said this mind state of sensual desire and ill will, including sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt, they are mental hindrance. Well, once they arise in your mind state, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. The true mind, your true nature. The mental hindrance hinders you from realizing that. That's why people cannot meditate. And when they cannot meditate, you know what they do? They go for thought-based meditation. They come up with methods and techniques and skillful means to anchor the mind, to fix the mind, because their mind cannot settle down. Why? Because they lack spiritual faculties. The opposite finds spiritual faculties. So when you don't have initial wisdom, you will stir your mind, you will react. You will get yourself entangled. So step four is very important. Step one leading to step two and three, you have to go through this phase and cultivate diligently to arise step four. Yoniso Manasikara. When you have straightened your view, when you are more at peace with whatever arises within the life situation, when you can accept the reality of the moment more and more, because the world is the world. People are just the way they are. Whatever that is being conditioned, that is the reality. So when you can accept them for what they are, you can accept every life situation for what it is, means accept the world the way it is. That's why you can develop the wisdom to see things as they are, not according to your views, opinion, and conditioning, and start reacting to it and become unhappy over so many things. The lack of peace is the reason why you cannot meditate. To meditate is to maintain awareness, not to react, not to stir. Without this awareness, you cannot see. You are like blind. To see things as they are means to see without the sankhara, the content of consciousness, the conditioning, the views, the opinion, your belief system. All this, they shouldn't interfere. Every moment of consciousness, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness, you should have to Yoniso Manasikara, or initial wisdom, there to protect you from reacting or stirring your mind. Then when you can develop the ability, you will move on to step 5 of the Avijja Sutta. What is step 5? After the initial wisdom developed, then at every moment of sense experience, you realize your mind is at peace. You do not stir anymore. Because your right view, your right understanding will complement you and spontaneously arise and prompt you. Sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, that exists. And that Dhamma liberates you, that wisdom liberates you. Then you don't react, you don't stir. You are at peace. When you are able to do that most of the time throughout your life, then in your daily mindfulness, you are able to cultivate step 5, which is sati sampajana. You can develop mindfulness and clear comprehension of all things. The 4 type of clear comprehension that the Buddha mentions are very important. Sati is very important, of course. But he come out with sampajana, with clear comprehension. Not only you are mindful aware, you must clearly comprehend this 4. The first clear comprehension, the Buddha says, is sincerity of purpose. Why do you cultivate awareness-based meditation or mindfulness-based meditation? Not to develop one-pointedness of mind, concentration, not to develop psychic ability, not to deviate from the pure path. The pure path is to develop wisdom, awakening. Only wisdom free your mind, nothing else. Not all the fantastic meditative state, the samatha and others thing. So always remember, without wisdom, you cannot free your mind. You need to observe until you have the direct seeing and the awakening to realize the truth and to straighten your view, then to liberate your mind. So understanding this is very important. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. You are very sincere. You cultivate because you want to develop the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom to liberate your mind. So anything else is a deviation. First thing, very clear, prevent you from doing the wrong thing. So thought-based meditation have that danger. If you go through all the so-called thought-based meditation and develop all the psychic field, energy field, and other things. Of course, that type of meditation can be quite interesting in the sense that people are attached to that fantastic concentration or mind state, the psychic ability, the ability of that mind to actually focus, concentrate, and cause psychic ability. So all this, if that is what you want, then your path is different. You are not doing it the Dhamma way. The Dhamma way is to develop just very simple wisdom, understanding to free your mind. So this understanding is very important. Then number 2, the clear comprehension is clear comprehension of the domain of cultivation. When it comes to cultivation, we must be very clear. The domain of cultivation covers every aspect of life. Meditation can be done in the midst of life. Anytime, any place, anywhere, even while working, in the midst of career, living your life, doing your work. That's why it's called sati sampajana. Means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement, and all activity within the present moment of life. That is sati sampajana, step 5. So domain of meditation will not make you deluded. You will not be deceived by the mundane mind or the thought that keep on telling, not now, I will only meditate when I have free time, when I'm retired. When I am in a temple or in a conducive way place, this is lack of understanding. You don't have clear comprehension of domain of practice. The 4 foundation of mindfulness, heedfulness, can be cultivated in the midst of life, anytime, any place, any moment, under any situation. So this domain of meditation, clear comprehension is very important so that you do not procrastinate and deviate from that understanding. Then the 3rd type of clear comprehension is to make yourself have the understanding of what is important and what is not important. So 3rd clear comprehension is clear comprehension of suitability. Suitability means What is the most important time to meditate? Now, here and now. What is the most important place where you can develop the meditation and be of a blessing to others? Here, this particular locality and place where you are in. So, clear comprehension of suitability means the most important time is now. Most important place is here and now. And the most important people are the people around you where you can benefit. Your environment, your condition surrounding you, your way, place, and all those things. So, clear comprehension of suitability is to prevent you from losing your mind, become heedless. While you are at the retreat, meditation center, or cultivation way, place, you go and think of your work, your job, or think of the family, your friend, your private time when you are having your games, your fun, golf, and all this thing. If you do that, means you do not have clear comprehension or suitability. The most important time is now. Most important place is here and now. And the most important people are the people around you. Why not you develop mindfulness on all this and be a blessing to all, so that you do not become heedless, so that you do not proliferate your thought and think of the future or recall the unhappy past. These are not reality. The reality is present moment awareness here and now, mindful. Then the other aspect, the last one, is clear comprehension of non-delusion. And non-delusion here is very important. Non-delusion here means not to be deluded by the defilement of insight. There are 10 very beautiful meditative mind states. If you attach and cling onto them, it becomes defilement of insight in the sense that you are trapped there. You develop complacency and you develop the inability to progress further because your egoic mind, born out from you, will arise and make you think egoically. It will make you proud. It will make you cling on to what you have developed or you think you achieve. And sometimes you may have the sense of feeling that you already enlightened. But if it's not the real thing, then you have to be careful. You have to be mindful. So this defilement of insight, you can read it up on your own, the 10 defilements of insight. They can really trap living beings. So all these are beautiful meditative mind states. When you don't have the understanding, you can be trapped and you will become complacent. So you keep to the 4 type of clear comprehension, it will prevent you from developing the wrong cultivation, deviating. So these 4 clear comprehension, sati sampajana, will arise after you have the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Then when you are able to have the 5th step, sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension, then the step 6 will arise naturally. By then, your daily mindfulness is so stable, your clear comprehension is so stable. You will be able to develop step 6, which is sense restraint, the Buddha said. Sense restraint means you do not break your precept anymore. Your senses are under restraint because of your right view, your right understanding, your wisdom, your mindfulness, your awareness, your clear comprehension. That's why after that, step 7 become a natural consequence. Step 7 is you can arise the 3 types of right conduct, right thought, right speech, and right action. So the 3 types of right conduct is very important. When you have sense restraint, you are incapable of negativity or evil. So the Noble Eightfold Path, the first six path factors stand out, shine out. We have right view, evil condition, right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the four right effort. That's why you're incapable of evil. So you can only arise the three type of right conduct. So by then, when you have step seven, you are at least a Sotapan, first stage of sainthood, or a second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami. Then after that, the Buddha say only you move on to step eight, which is the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness, Sati Sampajana. Oh, sorry, Satipatthana practices, the four foundation of mindfulness. That's the reason why in the Satipatthana Sutta, you read the final part, the conclusion, the Buddha always said, whoever who cultivate this four foundation of mindfulness may be for 7 days sincerely until 7 years maximum. If you awaken, if you are cultivated correctly, then the Buddha guarantee you, you will realize at least anagamanship, the third stage of sainthood. That's the reason. Then if the minor concede, mana and minor avidya still there, then you are at least an anagami. But if the minor concede and the slight avidya is also rooted out, you will realize arahantship. That's like four foundation of mindfulness are for beings that have the understanding of at least the first or second stage of sainthood to cultivate. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, at the beginning of all the four foundations, you always read this. After overcoming covetousness and grief, what is covetousness and grief? Means after overcoming grief, sorrow, and lamentation. Means you must have either attenuated sensual desire and ill will, or rooted it out. Means the fourth and fifth fetters. Then only you can cultivate the real Satipatthana, the four foundation of mind. Because before you overcome covetousness and grief, you do, it's a waste of time. You still have the delusion, the ignorance, the sakayadity. So these are all very clearly spelled out. Then after that, when you cultivate the eighth step, the four foundation of mindfulness, if you do it correctly, according to the teaching, then the step nine will arise. The Buddha said you will witness and realize the seven factors of enlightenment. So these seven factors of enlightenment, they are factors that give rise to enlightenment, which means when you see them, when you witness them, when you are able to be aware of their arising, you are already on the right path. Then the natural consequence is step 10. The enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. So that's how the Avijja Sutta, the 10th step, is to be cultivated. And they are all connected. So you understand this, it will actually guide you along. You will not go wrong. Yeah? So this part is also meant for that person who asked that question. He should listen to this whole sharing and he will understand. But later on in the Q&A, I will answer his question in a more summarized way so that he can see the full picture, so that he can understand what cultivation is. Okay, now almost 4:04. I think we will stop here. We will stop at just now where the epilogue is. Okay, that one is page one. Yes, give me a minute. Oh, we only did one page, 302. Okay, we are at page 302. So now we will have our 45 minutes. So awareness-based meditation, we will set the alarm so that you can have your awareness-based meditation. So always remember, awareness-based meditation is different from thought-based meditation. You don't use your thought to meditate. You develop the silent mind, the inner peace, the inner calmness, and the inner awareness with your meditative mind, which is your true mind, to meditate. Without thought, the true mind will arise. So what you need to do is remember the four support. Relax body and mind. Don't do anything. Relax. Be at ease. Relax into every mind state that arises. Whatever thought that arises, let it be. Don't do anything. That is settled down. Then maintain awareness. Just aware until your true mind returns. Your true mind is the stillness of mind, tranquility of mind, the silent mind that is already there before the mind creates sankhara activity or thinking, before you stir and react, before you create mental thinking. So be patient, relax, maintain awareness to realize that. That's why the third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours throughout the day. But initially, during your conscious moment is enough. The second support is just aware. Aware means mindful, aware. No need to think, no need to know, no need to do anything. Relax and silence. Then the last one is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. That one you don't need now. You can develop it later. The first three, you know. So now your duty is to train your mind to be aware, then stabilize it with the third support. Then use it to meditate. That's it. Okay, now we go off the light. Okay, so now we will continue your second session. Like I mentioned, today we will not go into the meditation reporting or Q&A, but I will deal with the question that I received from one of the cultivators who actually heard my video. I had a video earlier on how to deal with thoughts that arise in meditation by a fellow Kaya Metta, I think sometime last year. It was at the Whooping Center class. If I'm not wrong, the one that asked the question is Sister Tammy. So that question was very relevant, very good. Most people have this problem because when thought arises during meditation, what do you do? Many people, they don't have a clear understanding, so they have problem dealing with that situation. And most people may come up with skillful means or methods or techniques, or maybe some practical way of dealing with thought. But what we share here is different. The way I answer Ms. Lee is to develop the understanding to deal with it so that we can overcome such problem. So before I start, I will read to you what the question is. Actually, regarding the video, Brother Jin Hao sent me a message, I think just now, a few hours back. He said, "Very good morning, Brother Teo. There is someone named Ishan Sadanan. He has given very good and very high comment on two of your YouTube videos. The first one was on the video on how to deal with thought in meditation. So the way I answer him is very good because it's based on Tammy's question. The understanding of it is very important. How come there is thinking when you want to meditate? And most people encounter the problem. Why does thought arise? So I told Tammy, when thought arise, let it arise. Do not resist. Do not try to control it. Do not try to do anything. Because we need to have the understanding. Why do we think? Why are we heedless? How come when you want to meditate, you have this thought? So that understanding is very important. So I explained to her, according to the Buddha, thought arises because you lack the spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties, Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. These five spiritual faculties will enable you to understand spiritual teachings and enable you to be in a meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, which is sati, without thought. When you are fed, your mind is composed, collected. That's why it has no restlessness, no doubt, nothing. Well, the faith is there. And when there is virya, you will not be sleepy. Sloth and torpor, the mental hindrance will not be there. So you have to overcome sloth and torpor. Then when you have sati, it means you are aware, mindful, without thought. Without thought, there is no duality. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. That's why you are just aware, peaceful, calm. That is technically your true mind. But most people cannot be in that state because of your mental hindrance, your lack of stability of the spiritual faculties. So if you lack stability or sati, you cannot be in that state. And without wisdom, the initial wisdom is very difficult to maintain that sati, especially during the day, daily mindfulness or daily awareness. So that is the reason why people think a lot. Then without sati, you cannot stabilize it. You cannot develop samadhi. Samadhi is a collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. Then without sati and samadhi, you cannot see things as they are. You cannot develop the wisdom. So what happens is, if cultivator lacks spiritual faculty, the opposite five will arise, mental hindrance. And most people's problem is they are in the midst of life, their daily life. They are not in the meditative state. They are not heedful. They are not aware. Their mindfulness is not stable. So because of that, every moment of sense experience, they stir their mind. They react, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So this gives rise to reaction of mind. Your mind stirs and create the mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will. And as we know, sensual desire and ill will, they actually become mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So it throughout the day, we stir our mind. And every moment of consciousness, every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, or thinking. Because this reaction of mind is the subtle movement reaction. When you want things your way, your views, your opinion will cause you to react and stir. So this, when you do it very often, it becomes habitual tendencies. That's a habitual tendency is something you cannot correct. You cannot root out unless you develop meditative understanding and wisdom. And it has become a habit. It means every moment you create mental hindrance, almost non-stop. Your thought proliferate, you stir your mind, you become heedless. So when you do that so often, this mental hindrance will cause you to think, create sankhara activity. And if you try to resist all this, you are actually fighting your own delusion without understanding. Because the Buddha's teaching is very clear. Why did mental hindrance arise? Because you lack the spiritual faculty, the opposite five. So what you need is to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. But instead of doing that, they go and control the thought, resist, or try to do something to do away with the sensual desire and ill will, to do away with the restlessness of mind, to do away the sleepiness, the mental hindrance, to do away the doubt. And what is the doing? The doing is by the thought, as I explained to him, to that Sister Tammy, then this person must have heard. All these are thought-based meditation, thought movement. The moment you are actively thinking, stirring or reacting, you create more thought, sankhara. And when you do that, you cannot be in the state of sati, you cannot be mindful, you cannot be aware. Your spiritual faculty is lacking. That's why they cannot meditate. So what happens when they cannot meditate? That's why most meditation teacher or procedure come out with methods and technique or skillful means to anchor the mind so that this mind does not wander off, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, does not become heedless, so that you can hold it to do something. So all methods and technique and skillful means is not the meditation. They are just initial skillful means to anchor the mind so that it does not become heedless, it does not wander off. Then after that, you're supposed to train it. Okay, I will come back to this after, then I will continue. But I will go through his question first. Eh? So what he wrote is very interesting. So after hearing my sharing, he says, "Sir, you indeed are a great master, the real deal, as they say. Please give me your blessing so that I may one day realize the truth." Then there is another video on the 36th lesson of the Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva, which is a Sunday series. He also made this very good comment. He said, "Sir, I take you as my teacher. You really are something else." Oh, actually, this person, I haven't seen him, but because of his sincerity and faith, I rejoice in his wholesomeness and ability to understand my sharing. So I told him, "Be assured that the blessing you request will be there for you." And after that, he replied me with another question. He said, "I asked my daughter to put the question up." He said, "Venerable sir, do you recommend I take up a primary object of meditation such as Buddha or the breath, means mindfulness of the in and out breath, and watch consciousness from the six sense basis or six sense door flowing out uncontrollably, and watch if I am controlling to bring it back? As many of the Thai masters say, or just be aware of mental activities. I had trained previously in many traditions," he mentioned. "One of them is the Goenka tradition, the other one is Mahasi tradition, which now I realize from my teaching, sorry, from your teaching, means my teaching, that all focusing produces thought-based meditation or concentration, to practice habit or habitual tendency from this tradition. So finding the way has been difficult. So coming back to the explanation, I will continue. So his question is, do I take up a primary object such as Budo, which is very common in Thailand, or develop the breath meditation, means mindfulness of the in and out breath? Okay, so I will answer him based on his question. You see, whether you go and develop this primary object of meditation, Budo or breathing, is based on your understanding. If you understand, you can do, no problem, no harm. But if you don't understand, you will become gullible. Like I explained just now, what are methods, what are techniques, what are objects of meditation? All these are only skillful means to anchor the mind. Because people cannot make their mind peaceful or quiet, they realize because of the mental hindrance, they lack spiritual faculty, their mind are not in the state of sati, awake. They cannot be in the state of sati with a free mind, not arising thought or thinking. That is their problem. That's why the Buddha said, this thing happened, it will condition heedless thinking or heedless of mind. Why? Because they lack the spiritual faculty. When you lack the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance arises. So when the mental hindrance arises, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So because of that, most people who meditate or even meditation teacher, they find it very difficult to meditate. They realize a lot of thinking, a lot of thought process. So what they do is they have been trained in such tradition. All this tradition, most of them, they are taught methods and technique or skillful means to meditate. If you understand, then it's okay. It's like a skillful means for you to develop sati, mindfulness. And then no harm, no problem. The method, the technique, the object of meditation, whether Budo or breath meditation, it works. It's just like the Buddha's teaching in the Satipatthana Sutta. The first foundation of mindfulness is Kayanupassana. Under Kayanupassana, there are six categories of cultivation or practices. The first one is Anapanasati. So that one, the Buddha introduced the object of meditation as the breath. Then he taught Anapanasati. Anapana is the in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So its meaning is very straightforward. Mindfulness of the in and out breath. That's why the Buddha said, train your mind to be aware first. Anchor it to the breathing, because our breath is always in the present moment. It cannot be otherwise. When you are aware of breathing, there is no thought. You are just aware. That's why the instruction is very simple. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. But if you are not trained, it's very difficult. Split second, the thought will dissolve. That's why people who start out with Anapanasati find it very difficult to stay there. Yeah. So they need instruction, they need method, they need technique. But if you fail to understand the instruction, the method and the technique, then you don't have the ability to develop it properly. So the purpose of Anapanasati is to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. So you just do that. Like the Buddha said, every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. So maintain awareness in front of your nostril. Means the breath and the mindfulness move as one. Breathing in, away. Breathing out, away. Until your mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful and very still. That's why those who can do it, the mindfulness and the awareness will make you calm, peaceful, because you are only aware without thought. That's why your mind settles down. You don't have to focus. like those who do one-pointedness, apply thought, sustain thought. No need. No need to apply your thought and focus and sustain your thought. There. No need. You just relax, maintain awareness, mindfulness of the in and out breath. So if you do this, you become naturally peaceful, aware. It's a free mind. But the danger on anapanasati is if you become very good at it, it can also enter absorption, although it's not one-pointedness. Your mind can also enter apanasamadhi and develop the higher state of concentration or absorption meditation. So what you should understand is the Buddha never asked you to go to that extent. He said develop the mindfulness until it's very stable, until it become upacara samadhi, assess samadhi, before going into apana. So instead of just the moment-to-moment mindfulness, you have to stabilize it until it become upacara samadhi. So when you can do that, your mind will experience a type of calm. He call it piti, spiritual calmness, or spiritual. Sometimes it become very blissful, not bliss. Like they call it spiritual rupture, like your mind rupture into a type of joy, spiritual joy. Then you continue to relax into it and silent, it become more refined. Then you can experience sukhang or the blissfulness of mind. Then you continue to relax into it and allow it to be. Then this anapanasati will transform again to develop the higher awareness or mindfulness. Then from sukhang, it becomes very quiet, the mind. The mind becomes very quiet. For those who do anapanasati, initially you will develop the sati, the mindfulness of the in and out breath, until it becomes very calm, very still. The breathing is like very long, long breath, and you have clarity, a lot of clarity. Every movement is so clear to you before your sati, awareness. But there is no word. The mind is just aware. And it's very calm. Then when you continue to relax into it, it develops more refined mindfulness until you experience sukhang, bliss. Then you continue to relax into it and silent. The mind becomes very quiet, until piti also gone. Sukhang also gone. Then the mind becomes very still. We call this tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. And this is paucity, the enlightenment factor, fifth enlightenment. You have to develop until there is like no more movement. Like your breathing is very short, very subtle. Like no more breathing. But do not panic. Do not do anything else. Have faith, silence everything, and just let the mind stay quiet and peaceful. That you are patient enough, this mind will transform and develop into paucity, tranquility of mind and stillness of mind. Then the mind will enter sati. When the mind enters sati, it will stabilize that paucity and develop samadhi. For the mind to enter sati is not easy. You have to be patient. You have to silence everything until the mind is so relaxed and so still. Then you realize all of a sudden, whatever internal movement, whether it's very slight or subtle movement, whether it's your tactile or bodily or whatever, you can pick it up. It's like magnified for you. Then during that stage, you come to realize your mind has become different, very sensitive. The subtle breathing, you can detect it really. It's like there is a lot of movement there. Then you can maintain awareness of that subtle breathing, like no more breathing. It's like you do not rely on the normal breathing. Your internal breathing, the subtle breathing, can sustain the awareness and the mindfulness. Then when you come out of the formal meditation, you realize initially everything you do is like in sati. your kaya, your hand movement, your stretching, your whatever, is like awareness, and the kaya movement is what? That is what the Buddha wants you to develop. Then when you can develop that until it stabilizes, then you come to understand every moment of seeing there is a sati mind, the mind that is aware, mindful. And every moment of hearing also sati is there, nothing to cloud you, nothing to obstruct you or condition you. Your memory and all those things, views, opinion, will not come in and affect you because you have stability or sati and paucity. Then during that time, your mind has entered sati, means every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness is in sati. That is the training you must develop. Then continue doing whatever you do in your daily life, this sati cultivation. This will lead to daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. But in between, when this mind arises, you can see many things. Your subtle mental intention, your mind become very sensitive. Then you can understand the Dhamma. Whatever you reflect, contemplate, you understand, you inquire, you understand. Whatever you hear or read again, you start to understand. Then the Dhamma become different. You start to straighten your view. Your initial wisdom come in. Your mind transform. So, first category of cultivation, the kaya anupassana, is anapanasati. So the sole purpose of anapanasati is to develop the training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful, stabilize it until the mind enters sati. That's it. Then after that, what does the satipatthana say? Under kayana nupassana. The second category of cultivation is the Buddha said, move into daily mindfulness. Initially, it's mindfulness of the four postures. Standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, lying down aware. Then after you have developed the training, you are skillful, move on to the third category of practice under kaya anupassana, which is sati sampajana. You have to cultivate mindfulness and clear comprehension. This is daily mindfulness. When you do that, your sati become very stable, very extraordinarily different. When your mind enters sati, your daily mindfulness will pick up. Then you can see a lot of things that you never see before, your mind state, how your mind stir and react and create all this entanglement, how you land yourself in all the negativity of mind state, how fear arises, how worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation arise. Why did you react through habitual tendency, your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant? And you start to understand. And you start to develop clear understanding of the teaching. The five aggregate of form and mind, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vinyana. You see them all inside your form and mind. Then you understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human. How upon contact with the sense basis, consciousness arises, and how you input the content of consciousness. So everything you start to understand. Then the dwelling, paticca-samuppada, all you start to understand. So this is how cultivation is to be developed. Then after that, of course, you have under kaya anupassana, all the other category of cultivation or practice. But initially, you have to go back to the Avijja Sutta. Have Dhamma friend listen to the true Dhamma. Then develop the first and second turning wisdom. First turning is proclamation of truth. So listen. Then when you have that understanding, a type of wisdom will arise through hearing the sutta. The Buddha call it Sutta Mayapanya. Sutta are the discourse of the Buddha. Mayapanya is the wisdom, panya, developed out of hearing the discourse of the Buddha. So, first turning wisdom is when the Buddha proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. If upon hearing, like Kondanya at that time, when he heard the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he became a sotapan before the Buddha complete the whole Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon. That is true hearing, but you must have special roots, special paths to have this ability. Unless you have that, you have to go on to the second turning. So second turning is, after you have heard the teaching, you may not have the full understanding or complete understanding. So what you need to do is you have to reflect on this truth, the Four Noble Truths when it's three turning. Contemplate into it, inquire, and develop the deeper understanding through the second turning. The second turning, the Buddha turned the Four Noble Truths three times. Oh, sorry. Each truth, he turned it one time. So the second turning has four aspects. So under the first Noble Truth, the Buddha said, this Noble Truth or Dukkha is to be understood. So you have to understand it. Then the second Noble Truth, this cause of arising or suffering, is to be abandoned or severed. Then the third one, this cessation of Dukkha, which is Nibbana or enlightenment here now, is to be realized. Then the fourth Noble Truth, this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, is to be cultivated. Knowledge alone is not enough. So when you reflect, contemplate, and inquire into this four second turning, inquiry and contemplation, then you will develop the wisdom. First Noble Truth, take for example, why did the Buddha say this Noble Truth or Dukkha is to be understood? That is the first inquiry. Then second one is, how can I understand it? From here you go in, then you go one by one the eight reality. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then you have to reflect and contemplate on the birth process. And then you start to develop deeper understanding, clearer understanding. Then you inquire, how can I really understand? Means you must see it, witness it, understand it, and meditate to develop the stability of understanding. So as you contemplate, reflect, and inquire, you develop the stability of understanding of the Dhamma that you have heard under the first turning. So when you are able to stabilize that understanding, then you can slowly assimilate this understanding into your nature. This is how Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom, come about, through reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. But the mind has to have the spiritual faculty to do the inquiry, the second turning. Then after that, only you go into the third turning. So this is the process. When you develop that, the initial wisdom will arise. Then you can investigate into Dhamma. When it stand up to investigation, your faith is developed. So like I explained earlier on in the talk, step one is having Kayanamita friends. Step two is opportune time to listen to the true Dhamma. Then you do the reflection on the first, second turning wisdom. Then you move on to develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching through your Dhamma investigation. Where investigation stand up to the test, your faith become very strong. So Saddha, faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha is developed. Then your initial wisdom develops step four. Faith is step three. Then from step 4 to step 5, I already explained. Without this initial wisdom, your mind will stir, will react to sense experience. So daily mindfulness can never stabilize unless your initial wisdom is there. That's why step 4 is needed for step 5, which is sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. So this will explain to you clearly why people use method and technique. But you understand, no problem. Use it. It's a good skill for me to train your mind to have sati, to stabilize it until mind enters sati. Whatever object of meditation you use is the same. Even the rising and falling is the same. You must develop until the mind enters sati, stabilize and develop sati and samadhi. After having explained this one, now I will come back a little bit to all these so-called methods and techniques. You see, according to the Buddha, technically, if you have developed the stability of the five spiritual faculties, Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, you don't have to use any method or technique, because this spiritual faculty will make you calm, peaceful, collected, and in the state of Sati and Samadhi. Then you will develop Panya. Means you are already in the meditative state. With the five spiritual faculty developed and stabilized, your mind is always in the meditative state. That's why meditation becomes very easy. No need method, no need technique, no need to train. What I taught you will happen very fast. Just relax, silence your mind, and observe. Maintain mindfulness, and let the mind return to its original state before it stirs, before it creates sankara activity and thinking, before it reacts to sense experience. Develop that. Then stabilize it. This is a free mind that is in sati. No need to focus, no need to concentrate, no need method, no need technique, nothing. Just relax into every mind state that arises. Body and mind relax, be at ease. Then maintain awareness, just aware. Maintain for as long as you can to stabilize that sati. So this free mind that return and enter sati is through an understanding. When you understand that the original state of mind before the stirring, the reaction and the thinking, the arising of the sankhara activity or the mundane mind is your true mind. Meditation is to realize that silent mind, your true mind, your meditative mind. Then you can meditate. Without that sati, you cannot meditate. So this is the most important understanding. When you understand this technically, I use the word technically, yeah? You don't need methods and technique or skill for me. Yeah? But the tradition has been taught in that way. So no harm. If you use them, you must use them with understanding. What is the purpose of method technique? It's just a skillful mean to anchor the mind, to develop sati. Then after that, move on to daily mindfulness. Mindfulness of the four postures, followed by daily mindfulness of all the connecting activity within the four postures, means sati sampajana, like the Buddha described under the sutta. Standing, aware, looking forward, aware, bending, turning, stretching, aware, answering nature's call, aware, chewing, aware, whatever you do, aware, putting on the robe, the suit, the cloth, and all those things, aware. Whatever you do, maintain the daily mindfulness, awareness. If you do this, your mindfulness will stabilize, leading to heedfulness. Then you will awaken, like Dhammapada verse 21 and 22 and 23 confirm that the moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Heedfulness is apamada, is most important. And without sati, you cannot develop stability or sati. You cannot be ever mindful. If you are not able to be ever mindful, you cannot use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path or meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is heedfulness. So heedfulness can only come when you have sati. That's why all meditation must start it with training the mind to have sati. So hopefully with this understanding, meditator and cultivator can use it to develop the clear understanding to meditate properly. If you meditate with understanding, you progress very fast. If you do not meditate with understanding, you become gullible. Because when thought is active, you cannot be in a state of sati. You cannot be aware. The understanding is very simple. In life, you can only do one thing at a time. True or not? When you are completely silent and aware, then you have clarity. You are sensitive. But if you are lost in thought, thinking, what happens? You cannot be aware, isn't it? You become heedless, isn't it? So either you are aware within the moment, to meditate, to observe, to have the clarity, or you are lost in thought. Lost in thought means what? Preoccupied with your thinking, with your whatever mental stirring, means your emotion, your reaction to sense experience, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your lack of peace. So all these are from your mundane mind, the memory. Your thought is respond to memory. Your conditioning, your accumulated memory, belief system, phobia, insecurity, everything. This one trigger off wrong thought. Then your views, your opinion, your belief system, your whatever religion or race-based tradition, they will condition you until your brain is so conditioned. If you use that to meditate, it will create a lot of thought process, heedless thinking, the wrong thought, the wrong view. And because of that, sakkayadity arise, self-delusion, the evil roots arise, the mental hindrance arise, because the focus is not on developing the spiritual faculty. So when you understand all this, meditation becomes very simple. You no need to do all those that will condition you into thought-based meditation. If you do that, you are actually wasting your time. For a long period, you cannot develop the true understanding, the direct seeing, the awakening, where you lack sati. Why? Because thought-based meditation is limited by the instrument of thought that you use. And why must we develop the wisdom, which is the Dhamma? And what is the Dhamma? According to the Buddha, under the salutation to the Dhamma, he said, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Then he said, this Dhamma is well expounded by the Buddha. And what are the characteristics of this Dhamma? This Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, and upanayiko. Use this to check what is the real Dhamma. Sanditiko means can be realized in the here and the now, no need to wait till death. Akaliko means timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So if it's timeless, if you use an instrument of thought which is within the field of time, how can you realize the Dhamma which is timeless? You need to be in a state of sati or awareness before the knowing, to realize that. That's why awareness-based meditation is important. Otherwise, your mind is not sensitive enough. You don't have that clarity. It will be lost in thought. Most of the time, heedless thinking, 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 thought proliferation. There's a sankhara activity, non-stop. And the first two links, avijja paccaya sankhara, very active. Then sankhara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya namarupa, the whole dwelling. And you cannot understand. But if you develop stability of mindfulness, you will understand the whole thing, the dwelling, very clearly. Why must you think? Without avijja, you don't think. You only use your thought. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought, no more wrong thought. And without mindfulness, you cannot have that stability of mind to arise the right thought. Delusion will condition you into reaction of mind, stirring of mind, coming negativity, and all these things. So hopefully, with all this explanation, cultivator can develop clear understanding of what meditation is. To meditate is to understand through the reality, to realize your true mind, to come to comprehend who are you, what you are. Then from there, self-knowledge develop, understanding of the nature's law develop, how all of the right view of the Buddha, Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama comes about. Then from there, the first perfecter, right view, Samadhi, you start your cultivation. Without right view, you don't have the wisdom and the understanding. Then how can you arise right thought. That's why when your view is wrong, your thought will be wrong. And thought, condition, action, and speech, nobody will fall apart. So you need right view. And right view can only arise through observation, through mindfulness, through awareness, through the silence. When you are aware, you are without thought. You are not lost in thought. When you are not aware, not with the moment, it's a deep, you will be lost in thought. It's either way. So to understand meditation is very easy. Yeah? Hopefully this will keep you on the path so that you all will not deviate. So with this, maybe we will open up for our meditation reporting and sharing. Huh?
Bertil, 今天的 explanation 非常的好。
对，
Bertil Bong，怎么我最近我听你的这个 Dharma sharing，我可以 get 那整个的 picture， 可以 understand， very 真的是很。
You are able to develop the understanding is because your consciousness has transformed, your mindfulness has stabilized, your understanding has stabilized. That's why you will develop more and more stability. Then from now onward, you will have a lot of joy, a lot of what they call piti and happiness, or we call it joy, every time you hear the truth. Because your mind that has transformed, that has the Dhamma, will rejoice in truth. It will rejoice in the reality of things. And it's very beautiful that it will have no more problem in understanding truth. If it's not the truth, you will understand. If it's the truth, you will rejoice. That's why you go through that transformation, those process, and it has taken you many years. It's not by chance or overnight, not so fast. That's why I say stability or understanding is very important. You need to reflect, contemplate until very, very stable. Then you need to develop the sati, the mindfulness, the daily mindfulness, until you really become very, very stable. And then when you are very stable, everything you reflect, contemplate or hear, you understand very fast. Then with that stability, you can start to share, explain, and describe. So now slowly you can share, explain, and describe. That's why you should continue to describe it. Because when you find it very easy to understand with a lot of clarity, means the stability has come in.
Meditation the experience. About 2 weeks ago, 在 daily 的时候，早上九点多，我在 office 哦，早上九点多 ，suddenly 那个 heart 的那个 area 那个中间那边哦，那个 center， 哇，有东西一直在 pressing 啊，哇，它一直在 pressing， so 哇，整 because it's the first time， 哇，不， yeah. 我整个人就觉得哇，好啊，就一有。就觉得很像很 disturb 我 ，that's why 过后我就去啊去楼下慢慢的走。The moment 我去 relax 的一走的时候，我发现到哎 ，like you 那个 relax 是 inner，you have to relax，
yeah 啦
，the inner the relax。
That's why the first support is relax. You must relax. If you cannot relax means you have overexert. Means instead of just silent relax and maintain awareness.People go and use the awareness like a thought process. Means they try to be there. They focus. Understand? Or they try to like use their awareness to fix it there. Initially, when you just go through the initial ability to be mindful of the mind base or the gateway or the heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area or even initially the subtle breathing and all those things, you should continue to relax and silence your mind until that sati become very, very stable until mind enters sati. Then when mind enters sati already, don't try to use it to focus or concentrate. You can use it to feel like around the heart area of you, then silent, relax, and maintain awareness. Then let it detect. Then when it detects, whatever you detect, you can stay there for a while. Stay there for a while. But don't go and develop the focusing or the like exertion. Don't go and exert. Then sometimes it could be due to other reason. Sometimes when you are able to draw the energy of great beings, their nature, or when you are meditating very seriously. I remember during the early days, because that nature's energy was too strong for me. At that time, my stability or sati was not established. So I need to relax until I am very, very relaxed and silent. I have to slow down the cultivation. I cannot diligently hurry it through, like with a lot of virya wants to move. No, you have to accord and flow. When it's not stable, relax into it, stabilize it. So what you experience this one is because this is the first time you are trying to go in, deep inside. Actually, you should relax and let it detect the inner one. The inner one, you detect it through the normal relaxation, you cannot reach. But you have to be very relaxed. Then only it can go in. And when it go in, it by itself, it will detect. Then it's very relaxed and very soothing. Then everything will flow. The moment you experience like something pressing or something what means you overexert, or your nature is not stable enough to receive that type of pure energy or whatever. So relax into it. That's why when you decide to come out of it and go for a walk, go for a walk because you are already mindful in the midst of life. It's like very relaxed. And a lot of people experience that in a retreat or what. When you find your meditation very stressful or very difficult, it's because they don't have that understanding. They cannot relax in the formal meditative state, especially sitting. No. Because they are so serious. They hardly smile. There is no mental. The mind cannot relax because they are too serious. So what happened is, in the formal meditation posture, it's not easy to relax unless you have the training. Like those who do yoga or what, they know how to relax, they have the training, then it's easier. And if you know how to meditate, you can also do it. It's also very much easier, but you must understand what relax is, because relax is really relax. That's why I finally taught the lying down, because lying down meditation is the most relaxed. The least entangled posture. When you cross your leg there, where you cross it, it creates the constriction for qi to flow, and it's more difficult to relax into that unless you are trained. So when you are in the formal meditation, you cannot do it, then go for a walk. I always tell them, relax, maintain mindfulness, come out of it mindfully, everything, and when you develop Kayana Pasana, then just go for a walk. You realize the moment you start walking and relax, you become very peaceful again, very calm again, you become normal again. So initially you have to do this many times so that you develop the ability to relax, not only in the daily life or in the normal routine, when you are not in the formal posture to meditate. Then later on, when you come back to the formal posture, you can also relax into it through an understanding, where you will become very sensitive. The moment you are not relaxed, the mindfulness that has the sensitivity will detect it. Then you try your very best to relax. That's why after that, I propose to people, you better do it in lying down posture. So that is the most relaxed posture. But the danger of the lying down posture is people initially fall asleep. But don't worry, let it sleep, let it snore. But if you maintain awareness, at the first snoring, you will be aware straight away because your awareness is there. And that sound, that vibration, that snoring sound, that very first sound, develop the vibration for you to be aware. So the moment you are aware, the awareness become consciousness. You become consciousness of that snoring. Yeah. But after that, don't follow. Just maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Until the awareness stabilizes, until you are in a relaxed state of mind with awareness, free mind, then that movement between the thinking and that nature become very clear to you. You start to observe that, hey, the thinking try to come out already. Then upon contact or sense experience from that nature, it come out. Then if you already have the mindfulness and the awareness stabilized, you will not be drawn away. Your sankhara activity, your proliferation of thought will not move anymore. It will not be last time. It's like now you are from the stillness. The stillness, you develop awareness. It's like vibration. Yeah? Whether it's a pool of water or musical instrument, when nothing hit it, nothing stir it, there is no ripple, there is no vibration. So whatever happened, stir or ripple or vibration, you just let it be, then you realize it go back to the stillness again. It go back to its original state again. Experience that for as long as you can. Stabilize the awareness nature. Then you will have clear awareness of what that awareness nature is. The awareness nature is without the thought, without the sankhara, without the stirring. It doesn't want to know where there is nothing to know. The knowing comes from the mundane mind, the thought process. Without sankhara, there is no knowing. Without the aggregate of mind, vedana, sanya, sankhara, there is no knowing. Where these three are the content of consciousness, basically is sankhara, inclusive of vedana and sanya, perception. So all this, the moment you perceive or have mental state, means the mundane mind come out already. It has come out of the awareness nature. This is the creative thinking mind, mundane mind. We call it creative because it has karmic conditioning. It starts to create already. It starts to arise, seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. Then from your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, you will input the content of consciousness. That's how the kusala and akusala arise. That's how mental intention, chitana, give rise to karma. So you don't have wisdom, right view. Thought become conditioned into wrong thought. Mental states. Negativity of mental state. Your aversion, your sensual desire, your like and dislike, your whatever subtle duality, all this, they arise. Then even your fear, your phobia, your anxiety, your slight resentment or unhappiness, you can start to see them. You can start to be aware of them. Then the inquiry will come in. Why must I react this way? Why must I always stir my mind this way? Can't I develop the right view to be at peace with all situation, all condition, all people? Then the wisdom start. Then you start to see the beauty of the Buddha's teaching. Learn to see things as they are. They are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish. Then you can accept all type of people for what they are. Then you can be at peace. Then the world is the world. The reality is this moment, condition like that, things. So I accept. After I accept at peace, I have clarity, then I reflect, I contemplate what happened. How can I move on? How can I resolve all this amicably? How can I not stir and react and create sense experience with negative content or consciousness? How can I straighten my view to free my mind so that the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are no longer disturbing me All this need wisdom, straightening of view, and you need the stability of mindfulness to see all this. That's why the awareness nature is very important. That's the key. So now remember, Song, relax into it and maintain awareness. Then do according to your capacity, your ability to do it. Do not overexert or do not rush the cultivation and the training. So every time you experience this, continue to relax into it. Are you in the lying down posture that time?
没有，是在 during working hours. Then 那个他 first time 他是 in the center 那一边，然后过后哦。Oh,
you mean during working hour when you are doing your work, then you
yeah.
feel it.
Yeah.
Oh, that one is different again because that time your mind, the sati, stability or awareness and the ability to relax is not there because you are doing your work, your activity. And most people doing things, they have a little bit of stress here and there without them knowing. Because when you want to know something, there is also stress. When you try to create thinking to do your work, there is also stress. So when you are in the midst of life doing all this thing, that mindfulness cannot be very stable. So don't try to mix the cultivation. When you are in your daily mindfulness or in your normal work activity, just maintain awareness enough. No need to go deep. You go deep is during your formal meditation. Otherwise, you cannot develop the progress because that thing that you feel is actually still a conscious mind that is not in sati yet. Understand or not? You have some form of awareness, but
yeah.
stable, not in sati yet. That's why you feel the pressure. That's why it's like last time I told you when I started, I try to return to my heart every day, maintain awareness, return to my heart. Then the heart area there become like full of energy. You know? Then I have to slow down my cultivation because I realize too strong. You know, I keep on returning to there. Then I have to slow down, relax. And let things be. And that time, I still don't know the gateway. I have not detected the gateway. That's why I can't. So finally, I go back to the daily mindfulness. I relax and I just do. I don't want to go back to the center of the heart. Then later on, when I met my last teacher, that one actually showed me the gateway. And then after that, I got no more problem. I just relax, silent, aware. I go to the gateway, everything melt inside there. Everything just cease, and the stability of that nature become more and more stable, more and more. So luckily you describe, during your work moment, don't do all this. You just maintain daily mindfulness good enough.
Then after that, the first time
has a habitual conditioning like that. Because you every time go to the heart area.
The first time has in the center, then he move to that heart area.
Yeah,
you
actually directed it there because during your conscious moment in the conscious awareness that time, you direct it there. And that type of mind cannot relax on, very difficult to relax on. Although you may have some form of sensitivity or one. Because this one is the deeper awareness that you want to do, you have to do in a formal meditation. You cannot do it in the daily activity time. Your daily activity is to maintain mindfulness, stabilize that daily mindfulness. So always remember, don't go and mix these two. This one, you have to wait till you are in a formal meditation, then you go to your heart area, then you let the relaxed state of mind awareness using the fourth support, trust, to detect, to do. You don't do anything like pushing it. So if it's in the midst of your daily life, you don't go back to that habitual way of directing it to your heart area and try to do. Because that one, you may think that it moves by itself, but actually, no. You're actually exerting it. You are directing it there. So relax. Relax and go back to your daily mindfulness. Don't develop that one unless you are in the form of meditation. You can anchor it to the heart, no problem. But don't force it there all the time. Because when you maintain the awareness of your heart area, you must stabilize your awareness first until your stability is so stable without even any aid or stethoscope or whatever. Your awareness is sensitive enough to detect whatever movement and vibration. At that time, you can anchor it there. Then when you anchor it there, you relax, it will be aware. And when it's aware, let the awareness and the thing move. Don't go and press it or try to like go in deep. And that one is actually not trust. That one is the thought trying to do already without you knowing it. So trust means trust that nature, just very light, just very relaxed, and just let it do. But in the daily mindfulness, where most people are not stable in their ability to anchor it to the heart. So initially, they tend to send their awareness back to their heart. They tend to remind themselves every time, aware from there, aware from there, aware from there. So you do that, it becomes your new habit of returning to your heart. You can do it initially and experience the tightness and everything because the pressure will build up. No wonder every time you describe it's like something pressing and all, because you are not doing it with the correct understanding. When you return to the heart, is initially just to develop the ability to anchor center. Then after that, you should be either in the sitting posture, means not cross-legged, sit on your chair or when you are relaxed. Then you let it do. Let it do. Apply trust. But when you are working, don't mix the two. When you are working, maintain mindfulness and awareness in every action, every movement, whatever you do. That is good enough already. Can you follow? Yeah, this one is not easy for you to understand now because you have been doing that for quite a while. That is the habitual doing.
But Brother Tio, 我没有去 focus on 那个 我的 heart， 但是他自己有时 morning 来，有时下午来， even 我
yeah, when you are in the lying down posture, it's okay, you do it. But when you wake up already, no need to go there. Understand or not? You can use it as a awareness base to center, but don't go and give it any more exertion or try to I don't know how to describe.
Because我也没有去 focus 在那一边 like initially 有一天我晚上我在听你的 talk 我们一听到那个 talk 它那边又在 active 了，它会自动 like
when you are listening, you are in the formal posture. That time you can. But when you are working, how can you do that? Understand or? Listening to Dhamma when you are in a formal stable posture, then you can develop very strong. Then, okay, go into it, relax into it and just aware. And sometimes no need to know the content, just silent, draw the vibration. That one, correct. But you say when you are working, no. When you are active outside, conscious moment, you shouldn't be doing all the, but this is the more I should say the more higher cultivation where you need to use trust, the force support. When you go to the gateway, when you go to your heart area, you need to really relax and maintain awareness and don't exert, no more thought interfering. It's just that nature doing. Trust, let it move. Then it will not develop into like something pressing against you or whatever. It won't. Can you follow?
Mm, Okay, yeah, yeah.
You slowly find out, so that
yeah.
you become clear when you are in the formal attentive posture, listening to Dhamma, then okay, the thing come, let it come. Then morning when you wake up, it will develop that sensitivity. Then you silence everything and relax, trust, let the nature do. And then it become very different. When you let the nature do, you don't interfere, you don't go there at all. It just detect by itself, it just run by itself. Sometimes you can hold it for a while, like maintain your awareness there. But then finally you realize no use, let the thing move, let the nature. Then when it stabilizes, when it knows that is the place it's supposed to develop the awareness or mindfulness for longer period, it will just do. And then when it do, something will happen. Something will happen. When it's supposed to move to whichever area, it will activate that part. It will cause things to arise. Then you will know why. Why that nature need to do that. Then this is unique to each and every cultivator, meditator. Each and every cultivator, we have different paths and we have different physical body for this particular line, this segmented line. So all this, as a cultivator, we will develop understanding. Then you need to actually slowly, slowly develop the understanding and witness what is happening inside the transformation process, all those things. Then only the understanding will come out, come about.
Okay, yeah.
You can maybe pay attention to what I share with you today.
So that
you can understand what I mean. Maybe the next time you must specify whether you are doing it in the formal meditation or in the normal daily life. Daily life, you don't go to that extent. You cannot, because if you do that, chances is you are interfering, the thought is there. Without you knowing it, you may think that you are not doing anything. But for you to describe all those like pressure and all those things, means you are overexerting it. The thought is involved. If it's natural, through that nature, the trust, it is very soothing. Everything is very soothing. None of this will happen. That's why earlier on I thought you were doing it in the form of meditation.
Satu Bharatiyo.
So maybe next time when you are more clear, you can describe it again. Then we can discuss this again. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Sadhu.